Greetings, DC fans, and welcome to the DC Comics News Podcast, episode 191. We're nine away from the big 200. Speaking of big, speaking of awesome, speaking of amazing, here's Brad.
Hey, Steve, how you doing?
I'm great, brother.
Always you good well? Talking to you. Seeing you.
It's a joy and a pleasure and a privilege, my friend. So, shall we get straight into the news?
Yeah.
Let's do it. Let's start with the movie news. We've got quite a few good stories this week, starting with the fantastic news that we have our Supergirl, Millie Alcock from House of Dragons, which I haven't seen yet, I must admit, has been cast as the Maid of Steel based on Tom King's amazing graphic novel. You must be hyped, right?
Yeah, I haven't seen the whole first season. I am a little bit behind on House of the Dragon. Yeah, it's an interesting choice because it maybe just because I haven't, I was looking at her IMDb page and I hadn't seen anything other than House of the Dragon that she has been in. But from House of Dragon, I think we're going to be judging by that performance, we're going to be getting a little bit of a different Supergirl. I think, the Helen Slater, Laura Vandermort, Melissa Benoist, they all had a certain, I don't know how I want to word this.
Girlish charm?
Almost an innocence or a wholesomeness. And not that Millie Alcock doesn't have that, but she seems a little more worldly. So it might be a little bit of a more rougher Supergirl, which I guess is fitting with
the story.
With the story. So I think it's a good, I think she definitely has the talent to do it. So I think it's a good choice. It's going to be great for her career. I think that at this point, no matter what, I think that people are going to be so curious about James Gunn's new movies that they're going to go to this. I think that we can safely say that Superman Legacy is going to be big enough and giving James Gunn's track record is going to be good enough that it's going to get people coming back. So I think it's going to do wonders for her exposure. I'm going to be curious to see, pictures of her in the costume and what it's all going to look like. But I think it's a good choice.
Well, there's no doubt that the lady can act. Obviously, she's been on British TV for a while. And even though I haven't seen House of Dragon, I'm quite aware of her work. But like you said perfectly, you hit the nail on the head. That aspect of the character is much more in keeping with that particular story, that particular view of the Maid of Steel, which is something I recommend that all comics fans read because it's a fantastic
great
book.
Great story.
Really good. And I love what James Gunn said because it shows, and this is why I'm prepared to always give the man the benefit of the doubt. He said that we've got to remember, and most comics fans don't know this, they're used to the Melissa Benoist, they're used to the Helen Slater, innocent Supergirl, that she didn't come to Earth as a baby. She wasn't raised as a human being the same way Clark was. She was sent to Earth as a teenager to protect Clark. Okay. She is a Kryptonian on Earth rather than a human who was by no fault of his own conceived on Krypton. So it's a very different take on two very similar characters. And I love that point of view. And I hope they do have the whole fantasy sci-fi element of the book as well, because that'll be a radical departure from anything we've seen from Supergirl on screen up until now. So I agree. It's a weird casting choice. It's a bit left field, but I think it's a wise casting choice at the same time.
Yeah, it makes me very curious to see what they're going to do with this movie. That casting choice does make me think that they're going to stick more to the comics than I was expecting.
Oh, that would make me so happy.
Yeah.
Brilliant. And sticking with the rumor mill and James Gunn, and he makes me laugh because he is so fast to shoot people down. We've seen probably 100 different takes on David Corrin's with Superman in costume, and he shot them all down and saying, nope, the only pictures that exist of him in costume are on my phone and no one else has seen them. And then people say, well, why haven't anyone else seen them? His answer is a classic. What did you make of this brilliant story?
Yeah, poor James Gunn. I think that's what he's doing. He's just putting out fires and stopping rumors. And I think it's good that he does that, because once the internet gets going, it's hard to get it to stop. It's that old saying that a lie gets halfway around the world before it puts its pants on. So it's good that he's trying to stay out in front of all this as much as he can. I think it would be way too early in the production to have, pictures
Of
him released to the public. Yeah. So I think people have to understand that too. So, overall, I think he's been handling it pretty well, and I'm willing to wait. I don't need to see the pictures on his phone. I can wait until we get more footage. And I wonder if we will get that at Comic-Con this year. That'd be nice to see. So, but anyway, yeah, I don't blame James Gunn for shooting these down. There's just so much riding on his shoulders. Everybody talks about superhero fatigue, and this year is going to be a pretty dry year when it comes to superhero movies overall. So it's going to be James Gunn's Superman is going to bring it all roaring back. So not only superhero movies in general, but he's got to bring DC back. So yeah, I would not want that pressure, but I think he's handling it pretty well.
Absolutely. I mean, I just love the way he just tells the fans no in no uncertain terms, where the guy goes, well, if you've got the phone pictures on your phone, why don't you share them? He goes, well, it's not the right costume. I'm not going to share it if it's not the costume we're going to use. And argue with that. Mm-hmm. Because putting out the wrong costume or a different costume, and then when the film comes out, again, some section of fandom are just going to say, oh, that's not the costume you shared on your phone. Well, no, of course it isn't, because that wasn't the right one. Well done, Mr. Gunn. I salute you for that.
And people, the general public that spreads these rumors, they don't understand what goes into making a movie and the details that go
into. They really don't.
I mean, like, the Superman costume itself is iconic and overall very simple. But even so, there's so many little tweaks, because you don't want to make it look cheesy. You don't want to make it look like something that's come before, but it still has to fit those parameters of the classic. It's hard to do. Yeah. So, of course, they're not going to be ready yet.
Absolutely. And in no uncertain terms, he's let certain corners of fandom know this, and I love that.
Yeah.
But certain corners of fandom are very intrigued to know that so many members of James Gunn's Guardians of the Galaxy cast want to come over to the DCU, including Zoe Saldana. And since this news posted, Dave Bautista has also gone online saying that he'd love to work with James again. He'd do it for free. And the fact that he's got a role in mind already for Zoe, and this new news with Dave, surely means that something's in the pipeline. What do you make of this story?
I just love that they all get along so well. The Guardians are pretty much are my favorite of the Marvel movies. And, sometimes I sound like a broken record, but I do say a lot that when the cast and the crew is really close, that really shows. And it really did with the Guardians. And that whole fiasco where he was fired and then rehired, it was the cast coming in support of him that helped. And it's just good And it's great that he can foster such a good relationship with the people he works with that, they would say, oh, I'll come back and do it for free. As far as what characters they would play, you can't even begin to guess at this point, because James Gunn is known for lesser known characters. So I wouldn't even begin to speculate on who they might play. I don't know if you have any ideas, but yeah, I wouldn't know who they're going to play, but I would love to have them back.
Both of them are so talented. And Drax and I've forgotten her name in Guardians now. It was Deadliest Woman in the Galaxy. It's Gamora, that's it. Both those characters are fantastic, and they portrayed them brilliantly. So whatever role they pick, and I'm not going to be one to speculate, because now that those two have both said they're interested, now that James has said he's already had a role in mind for Zoe, the internet's going to go into meltdown. So I'd just love to see what everyone else thinks. Dave's a bit harder to cast, But the amount of strong female characters the DC Universe has, the world is Zoe's oyster.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's athletic, she can act, she's got a bit more of a range, forgive me, Dave, for saying this, than Dave has, because of his physical look, he's going to be cast as more of a strong man type character, more of a heroic type character, or possibly a great villain. I mean, I'd love to see his take on Brainiac. That'd be totally
that
was, different.
Yeah, that mentioned that in the article. I see that would be really interesting.
That would be so cool. So, yeah, I just want to find out when the rest of the world finds out, and I look forward to that. Definitely.
Yeah, me too.
And our last James Gunn story, and again, it shows that people love working with him. John Murphy, a frequent collaborator with James, including the third Guardians movie, is going to be composing Superman Legacy. Now, I'm happy about this. And as a fellow movie score fan, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm happy about this. I think they work well together. I love the work that he's done before, both on Suicide Squad and in the Guardians movies. I think it's a good choice. Obviously, they are good at working together. And it makes me wonder that this is announced relatively early in the process. I'm wondering if they're going to come up with the score and maybe play it for the crew and the cast to get them kind of pumped up, to put them kind of in the right mindset. So that will be interesting too. I'm also wondering if they're going to try to use any hints from the score for the Superman 78 movies, because that's such an iconic theme song. Just to use a little bit of influence here and there might be fun. But yeah, I'm interested to see what he comes up with, for sure.
Absolutely. I mean, such a talented composer, because coming into the third Guardians movie, following on from the music from the first two, you've got that really hard burden of matching the score and themes already set by his predecessors and yet still delivering something new as well. He did that brilliantly, really, really well, and in the Christmas special. So I'm already really hopeful that the music for this film is already going to be absolutely top draw. So I'm really, really happy about that.
Yeah.
And if they can bring some elements or a tweak on the classic John Williams Superman theme, which is so iconic, all the better. But if he comes up with something new and just as iconic, that's a feather in his cap too. So whichever way it goes, I'm sure that we're going to be hearing something truly beautiful with this film. So I'm looking forward to that. And as if by magic, speaking of Superman 78 and the late, great Christopher Reeve, now, some aspects of fandom really upset me because I love Henry Cavill as Superman. That doesn't mean I don't love Christopher Reeve as Superman, because he's the Superman I grew up with. He's perfect. He's straight out of the pages of the comic. And people can't understand how you can love both for different reasons. Now, The Great Man is the subject of a documentary which has already premiered at the Sundance Festival, which it seems like is going for sale and will be on our screens. Now, this is a documentary I want to see, not just because he was Superman, because of the man himself and even what he achieved after the crippling injury he received near the end of his career. Now, as a film fan, as a Christopher Reeve fan, what do you make of this new documentary, Superman?
I can't wait to see it. And this was almost one of my favorite stories this week, learning that Warner was able to buy it, because it would be a shame, because he's so associated with the Superman role, that this movie didn't get its debut on Max. So I'm really glad that Warner was able to get their hands on it. My question to you is, being, you know, over in England, what's the status with Max over there? Will you be able to get this on the streaming services?
Probably not. Unless,
and I hope they do a theatrical release then.
Well, the thing is, with the documentaries, with some of the stuff we have been getting, they've been actually released by Sky, which is the biggest non-terrestrial broadcaster in the UK. We got the Superpowers documentary here. So I'm thinking that if Warner get it, they have very close ties with Sky. We might get that show. We got Peacemaker. We got Harley Quinn. We didn't get Doom Patrol, but Netflix got Titans over here. So I'm hopeful. if we don't get it, and sue me if you want to, I will find a means to watch it, because A, Christopher Reeve, B, award-winning Sundance Festival documentary, I need to see it.
It's I'm surprised that he hasn't had a documentary like this before.
Absolutely,
now. Seems like it's very due.
Overdue.
Yeah.
Yeah. Legend and a wonderful human being. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing this one. So that's it for the big screen. Let's shrink things down a little bit and talk about some TV news. And we can't escape Mr. Gunn for long, because we have two stories. All three of our TV stories. First two regarding Creature Commandos, and we know how many episodes we're going to get. And again, I love his answer as to why. What do you make of this one?
I think seven episodes is the perfect amount. One thing about the rise of streaming services is that you kind of realized you don't need the 22 episode season. I think that it can say what it has to say, and you know, hopefully it's going to be good enough that we get a second season. But I like that seven episode. I think that's it's very manageable. And I think that's one thing that, as you know, going back to the British thing, the influence of British TV when some of that started streaming over here, is that a lot of the series are only, you know, 5-6 episodes, and then because they call, you know, they're the series over there, and you realize watching some of those great British shows that they don't need a whole lot of episodes. I like The Fall with Gillian Anderson. I remember watching that, and I was like, wow, that's great. It wasn't that many episodes, and it was a great season of TV. And I think this can be the same way. I'm just really excited. And one thing that I love too is that this article, I don't know if it was just talking or if it was giving away the lead a little bit when it says, we don't know when we'll see it in 2024. So does that mean that they know we're going to get it at some point this year, or just wishful thinking? But I would love to see this as soon as possible. So I'd love to see that this year.
I've seen it from so many sources now. We're getting it this year. Yeah. And that will lead into the next story as well. And I love what you said that, yeah, why does a season have to be 22, 24 episodes? Because if you get a budget for a season of TV and you've got to stretch it over 22 to 24 episodes, you will see that budget being stretched. When you can work it out over 6 to 10 episodes, you'll see every penny spent going that much further. And like Gunn says, the story dictates the length of the season. Why pad things? Why stretch things out? And some other series, and I'm not going to mention them by name because I do it all the time and I don't want to digress, you can tell where some episodes have been added in for padding to meet the episode count as directed by the network. No. If seven episodes will tell that story, give me the seven episodes.
Yeah.
That's all I want to see. And that's all that matters. The story should be king. The characters should be king, not what the network dictates. And like I said, that's the beauty of streaming. They've not got so many strangleholds and rules placed on them. They can actually just be artists creating great art, which is the thing you and I love the most. So fantastic. Yep. And now that we know it's coming in 2024, we're not getting Superman Legacy till 2025. A lot of fans have said, well, hang on, Superman Legacy was supposed to be the big lead into the DCU. How come Creature Commandos is coming first? And again, Gunn's answer is simple, concise, and brilliant. What do you make of this one?
I think it was simply a matter of whatever James Gunn says. I think what happened was James Gunn probably already pitched this idea, had an outline, maybe some of it written, and DC Warner said yes. And that was all before he got the whole reins to DC. Because you have Weasel in it from Suicide Squad, so there's already that connection. And I think once he got the reins, he thought, well, we already have this ready to go pretty much. I mean, it's already written. Why don't we have this be the leadoff? So I think it was timing. I think he even mentions that in the article, that it was kind of like it was the one that was closest to being ready first. And I think that there's a lot of fun ways you can use this to lead off. It's certainly an original idea to launch a whole big interconnected universe, not only being an animated series, but again, being these characters that aren't as well known. So this, I think, is the thing that I'm looking forward to most this year when it comes to entertainment. So I can't wait.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I'm really looking forward to this series. We need something quirky, new, different, now that we don't have Doom Patrol anymore. And I love what Gunn said about that Superman Legacy is going to be the main course. And Creature Commandos is going to be a delicious appetizer for that. And that's what you want, really, because we know that any Superman movie is going to be judged to death before it even releases. So this series, this show, Creature Commandos, can be like something to satiate the appetite and to calm fans down. Because if it's as good as Peacemaker, we're in for a treat. If it's as good as what James Gunn has done so far, then it will alleviate a lot of worries and a lot of tension that certain corners of fandom may have about the Superman movie. So I'm all for it. And it gives us something to look forward to this year rather than having to wait for everything to come out next year. So that's good news. Right. Our final TV story is, well, I mentioned Peacemaker. It's happening. Season 2 is coming, hopefully soon after the Waller series, hopefully soon after Creature Commandos. And James Gunn has already said that episode 8 is going to be a banger. Now, that has got me super excited. What about you?
I'm super excited that we had to get an update. I wasn't expecting a Peacemaker update for a long time because he's got so much other stuff he was doing. The fact that he's already up to episode 8. Now, episode 8, too, that's interesting because that would probably be the season finale or the final episode.
Exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah, so that, and if that's a banger, I can't wait. Peacemaker was so great. I can't wait for a second season. So I'm so glad that it's being written amongst all the other stuff that he's doing. So, yeah, that made me very happy because I was not expecting any more Peacemaker news for a long time.
And I will admit this, Peacemaker is one of the few shows to come out recently, because obviously there's shows that have been out for decades that I've watched 100 times, but Peacemaker is one of the very few shows of recent years that I've sat down and watched through 3 times. I loved it that much. And never once during those 3 viewings did I forward those opening titles because love them.
I still find myself going back to YouTube and watching those opening credits every once in a while.
It's great. It's just brilliant and irreverent, different, so off the wall and grown up. But it's grown up in a silly way, but not grown up in a childish or overly teasing way. It's just fun entertainment. I mean, for my wife to love it, and she puts up with my comic book and comic book TV movie habit begrudgingly. Jackie loved Peacemaker, and she's when's the second series. That's all I have to say. She's not a comic book person, and she loved the show. That's the highest praise I can give. Right,
sure.
So we've talked about everything that's on screen. Let's talk about our favorite subject of all, and something my brother Brad is the king of, and that's costumes and couture in superhero universes. Catwoman 64 is due out in April, and we have a sneak peek at her outer space astronaut costume. Brad, I need to hear you go to town on this costume.
Oh, I loved it. I love bringing back the purple. Great idea. It's sleek. I like the ears on the space helmet. A nice touch. I mean, what's not to love? Catwoman in space. This looks like they had a really fun time designing the costume too. Very rarely, and we talk about covers a lot, but very rarely would I go into a comic shop and find a cover that would draw me in enough to buy the book that I wasn't familiar with. This, I think, might be. It's very retro influenced. Obviously, it goes back to the classic purple Catwoman suit, but there's also something timeless about it, and that's a big trick, and it's also something important to do with superhero costumes. Going back to the Superman costume, like we talked about, that's so timeless, so is Batman. So it's fun to see bring back these older designs to help make those a little more timeless as well. So yeah, there's nothing I didn't like about this.
I couldn't agree more. obviously, I grew up reading comics in the 70s and the 80s, and that classic purple dress Catwoman costume with the cape is the one that's most etched in my mind. And then in the 90s, when the Catwoman actual solo series first debuted, Jim Balance design, that classic skin tight purple costume again, is probably the one most comics fans are familiar with. So to have that brought back, kicking and screaming to the present, in the current run of Catwoman, which I don't know if you're reading, the current Nine Lives storyline is superb. Try and pick up the first five issues. I think this will be chapter six, if memory serves, the Catwoman in Space one. So pick it up, because at the end of the Gotham War, the battle between Catwoman and Batman, a meteorite hit the Earth similar to the one that made Vandal Savage immortal, and it seems to have granted Selina nine lives. And each episode, each chapter is showing an aspect of the character, and this spacesuit one is one of those chapters. So try and pick up the issues, or check Box from DC, who give us all the titles to review, because it's a great storyline. I think you'll really enjoy it. But like you said, you know what you're talking about. The eye for design, and the fact it's brand new yet still harkens back to a classic look, is a great line to walk down. And I know we've only seen the cover image, but it's fantastic. Dying to see more of the interiors, dying to see more of the costume itself. April can't come by quick enough, because the Nine Lives storyline is superb. Really good stuff. Speaking of superb, you and I have said it time and again. Mark Waid is back at DC. He's taking no prisoners. The Kingdom Come universe is back in DC, and it's phenomenal. But now, with the latest chapters of World's Finest, and issue 24 in particular, not only do we have GOG, the World's Finest, and the Kingdom Come universe, Darkseid is. Brad, your thoughts?
Oh, I love the idea of mixing the Kingdom Come characters with Darkseid. What crazy battle is that going to be? And Mark Waid, welcome back. Thank you for coming back. I love using the, you know, and Kingdom Come. I love going back to that universe. It's such a iconic. Kingdom Come is almost up there with Dark Knight Returns, Watchmen, and that kind of pantheon of great DC and great comic stories overall. And it's fun to have Mark Waid play in that sandbox again. And it's also cool, you know, as DC Omniverse and everything that has happened over the past years, it's good to bring those Kingdom Come characters into it. It makes me wonder what else he has planned for these characters. I can't wait until I can get this all collected in like a nice hardcover edition, just to sit there and read it all, rather than having to wait for chunks. I love that Mark Waid's back. He was definitely missed. What about you?
I love what you just said, because in recent years, I've been more of a let's get the trade paperback kind of guy, so I can read the whole story in one go. But since Mark Waid and Dan Mora, let's not forget Dan Mora, because this guy will be spoken about in the same breath as George Perez, John Byrne, and Neil Adams in years to come. This guy is a phenomenon. His art is beyond perfect. He's the consummate comic book artist. Yes, we get your Alex Rosses who paint. Yes, we get your Tim Sales who are fantastic in black and white. But Dan Mora is your perfect action comic book artist. And the images for Darkseid, the whole World's Finest universe that he and Mark Waid have created, is beyond amazing. So having Mark Waid and Mora work together, having Mark Waid back in his Kingdom Come universe that he created, and let's be fair, a lot of the sequels and follow-ups that followed that he didn't write varied greatly in quality. World's Finest from issue one has stolen my heart, my eyeballs, and everything in between. So to have Darkseid, like you said, in this Silver Age mixed with modern age universe, and it's a phrase you and I both coined, and we'll use it till the day we die. Damn it, DC, take my money, because I can't wait for the trade paperback. I have to read these whenever they arrive in box, whenever DC send us them to review. Then I will buy the physical books as well to have on my shelf, because they're that damn good. Along with everything Tom Taylor writes, Mark Waid's World's Finest, and the World's Finest Teen Titans miniseries, simply outstanding. Some of the best comic book entertainment you could ever hope for. Some of the best superhero stuff in decades.
Without a doubt.
So that's end of the comics news. So let's talk about another couple of things that are out there that are made for DC fans. And the first is, I'm a Batman fan. I don't know if you knew that, Brad. Did you know that I like Batman?
I did.
A collectible series offering a build-your-own classic 1966 Batmobile, one of the most iconic pieces of TV history ever, is out there for fans to pick up. What'd you make of this story?
I would say, guys, if you're listening to this, check it out online. There's a picture with the hood open, the detail. Again, whoever DC has really aligned themselves with some really good people with these statues, cars, figures. I mean, this is another one. Just the detail is incredible. And it also mentions that you get a few extra little goodies. You get like a baseball hat, you get a die-cast version of the Batmobile. So there's a lot of little extra add-ons that are fun. And this will always be, even as much as I grew up with the Tim Burton Batman, this will always be my favorite Batmobile. I think before I even know who Batman was, I recognized the Batmobile. I used to collect Matchbox cars, and I think I had at one point the early version of either Hot Wheels or Matchbox, I don't remember which. It's always stuck in my mind as the quintessential Batmobile. So it's great. It's gorgeous. What about you?
It's a thing of beauty. And like you said, it's ingrained in the public consciousness. It's part of pop culture. It's not just a Batmobile. It's possibly the Batmobile. And while a lot of that show was campy, colorful, over the top, that car I think would still work today. The fact that so many people bring it back sitting in a corner of the Batcave in the comic books, it's just beautiful. It's iconic. And to have it brought back slap bang into the present, and like you said, this is the beauty of this collectible series, and I'm actually tempted to get it if we get it over here, because this is an American company that's doing it, so I don't know if we'll get a license with a UK company over here for it. But the fact that it's not just the model you build and it sits there, the opening hood, to see the engine, little attentions to detail like that elevate this collectible above most. Then you get, if you're a subscriber, extras, freebies, baseball caps, die-cast models. If you're a model maker, if you're a Batman fan, this speaks to both sides of your personality. So it's a win-win. I'm really tempted to get this. Really, really tempted to. Especially as the first issue is only a couple of bucks. Ooh, naughty, naughty, Steve. Your wife will murder you, but will it be worth it? Maybe. I don't know. See what happens. But yes, one more story, and this is a trailer for, now I need to talk to you about this because a lot of stuff has already leaked as people have completed the Justice League Suicide Squad game, and the ending has broken my heart, but let's talk about this trailer first of all, and the fact that skins are available where you can play in black and white as the characters, or dress up the Suicide Squad as Justice League. What did you make of this video and this story?
Those skins are fun. As a gamer, I don't really go for those things, but they're a cool little added-on bonus if you get the deluxe edition. It also includes like some extra weapons. Now, I have not looked up any spoilers on how the story ends. I'm trying to kind of wait until I play through it. So, I kind of been keeping away from knowing exactly what the story is. I do know that overall the reviews have been mixed. A lot of people are saying it's okay, but I think that they were expecting more from Rocksteady. Now, I'm not going to jump in on that, because like I said, I haven't played it yet, and generally I find that my tastes are a lot of times the exact opposite of a lot of game reviews, so I will probably end up loving this game as much as the Arkham games. I don't know. I think those bonuses are fun for a certain segment of gamers that like those skins. I mean, King Shark as Superman looks hilarious. But yeah, just my own gaming choice, my preferences, I don't need extra skins, but it's fun to just to have that option if you wanted it. So yeah, I think overall it's fun. And the scenes we saw, the combat looks really fun and kinetic and a little chaotic, and that can be fun too. So I'm still looking forward to playing this game.
Glad to hear it. That's the best way to be. As you haven't seen or heard the spoilers, I'm not going to ruin it for you, because a lot of the times fans do just like to get upset over nothing and saying that, as Kevin Conroy's last performance, this was shocking and disrespectful. People, it's not Kevin Conroy's last performance. That will come in the animated Crisis on Infinite Earths movies. Don't be silly. And at the end of the day, Starro takes over people's minds. What's to say that this ending that's leaked, that people are so upset about, isn't the Suicide Squad being taken over by Starro and seeing what he wants them to see? Just saying. As for the other takes, yeah. King Shark as Superman, Deadshot as Batman, Harley as Wonder Woman, and Captain Boomerang as Flash. I'm all for it. It's fun. It's quirky. It's different. It adds another little level of playability. Awesome. That's just great for me. And as a non-gamer, I just think it adds a bit more fun to the actual whole experience. So bring it on.
Yep.
And that's about that. So that's all the news we've covered. Brad, anything to add on any of the stories or anything you want to talk about in the world of DC in your experience in the last couple of weeks?
Oh, man. You know, we talked before we started recording that I've been kind of busy. I think I'm still with what we were talking about last time with what I was reading. I was on vacation at the time, so I had taken some of those graphic novels with me, and I really haven't had a chance to dig into any more DC graphic novels or comics. And I really do want to watch the Crisis Part 1, though. I'm trying to track that down. What about you?
Yeah, similar sort of thing. I've got a few movies I need to sit down and watch, and obviously I'm at home. I'm not working at the day job. I'm doing everything from home at the moment, so I've got a lot more time to do that. But my trade paperback of Frank Miller's Dark Knight Returns finally fell apart after 30 years. So my wife bought me a new copy, and I'm glad she did, because obviously when we bought trade paperbacks, all you got was the comics, the story and nothing else. And these new versions have lots of new stuff at the end, scripts, sketches, designs and stuff like that. So I'm actually quite glad in a way that my one finally fell apart, and it gives me the excuse to get a new version of the Watchmen trade paperback as well, because the good stuff at the back of that in the new versions is almost another 20, 30 pages worth of content. So really looking forward to that. And she also got me a new game and graphic novel with Colleen Doran. She got me Tom Taylor's Batman the Detective trade paperback. So I've got lots of good stuff to read.
Nice.
So yeah, on the whole, things are looking good. We've got a new TV show to look forward for 2024. So I think it's going to be a good year by the time it wraps up. As we said in our end of year special. So if you haven't seen or heard that, readers and listeners, go watch and listen to that, because we are powerful individuals. Brad is strong. Brad is good.
And so is Steve.
Thank you, brother. And on that note, Brad, where can our viewers and listeners get more of that wisdom and power?
You can find my news and reviews, DC Comics News. You can also find me writing the occasional review at Mark with the Movie Blog. You can, I don't post to X really, but you can follow me, FlickyB1. And like I always say, hopefully we'll be getting back to recording the Harley Quinn podcast at some point. So, that's where you can find me. Where can people find you?
Easily just type Steve J. Ray or Fantastic Universes or Steve J. Ray's Fantastic Universes into your Google search engine, and that'll take you to all the damage I've inflicted on a poor, unsuspecting internet for close to a decade now. News features, reviews, and interviews on DC Comics News, Dark Knight News, and my baby Fantastic Universes. Hear my voice with Brad on this show most weeks, and hopefully soon on other shows too. Catch my show with my offspring, my cub Adam, on I Am the Night, also on this very network. And until you do, just remember to follow DC Comics News, like, rate us, review us, subscribe. Let us know what we're doing right, let us know what little we're doing wrong, and keep listening, keep watching, and always remember to do one very important thing, and that is to
read
more comics. DC Comics News, episode 191, out.